chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, going to be reading verses 9 through 11 today. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 9. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in earth, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this passage. Lord, this exaltation. Father, I pray that we would recognize what's going on here. There's an event coming that is true. Lord, even more than that, there is this exaltation that we need to see. We need to see that it's what humility brings. Father, we love you. We praise you especially for the example you've given us, the illustration in Christ. Lord, how he came, suffered, died, took the form of a bondservant. And Lord God, he became a man. Even though he's God, became fully man and took that outward expression of that. And he did it all because he loves us and did it all because you love us, and he did it out of obedience. And Father, we don't even begin to understand that, but we are so grateful for that. We love you. I ask that you would build us today. Show us from your word what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Philippians, what we have found, the writer of Philippians, Paul, is writing to a church that he founded. The first one in Macedonia he came to, but he is writing to them. The church was a poor church, and yet they were very giving. They had given a lot to him and sent people to help him even. So we see a very giving church. We see a loving church, but the church somehow, and we're not told the exact problem, but they were having some interpersonal issues. They were having some divisive issues. They needed unity. They needed to build themselves in unity. And Paul was wanting to help them with that. He was wanting to show them that. In fact, he would admonish them in that way. But to begin with, he's very thankful for them, exceedingly thankful for them. But his confidence is not in them. We find out in verse 6, it's in God. It's in God that God would build him, or that God would build them. And his confidence was in the fact that God was in charge. But we see that he's thankful for them. He is praying for them. We saw his prayer that they might superabound in love, in the parameters. Remember the parameters of that he had set up there, and the truth and discretion. So we saw the admonition then that he was giving to them because of the problem, the disunity going on. But what we saw in that admonition is the importance of humility, the importance of humbling themselves, or even you could say ourselves. And what we looked at is the theory and the action of humility, seeing others as more important than our own desires. Remember, we're not talking about a doctrinal issue. We're talking about preference issues here. Because when he came to doctrine, if you remember in Galatians, when it was a doctrinal issue, it was very instructional and very important. Here, what we're talking about had to have been relational issues, because he asked the elders to come along and help the two ladies mentioned in chapter 4. But we saw that theory behind it. We saw the action of it. Now what we're looking at is the illustration of humility, which is to have this mindset, the same mindset which is in Christ. So the illustration given is Jesus Christ. And so the admonition is to have that set, to set your mind, literally. It's not to have this attitude, but it's to set your mind. It's to set this attitude in your hearts, which was in Christ Jesus. So we looked at the deity of Christ. The fact that the deity of Christ, that he is God, he is completely God. He has always existed as God and in the form. And remember, that word form means the outward manifestation of that inward nature. So he had that outward flowing of godness. And yet he set that aside. He set that aside, that outward flowing, to take on the outward flowing of a servant. Outward flowing of a slave. That was the incarnation, the humanity of Christ. So we saw the deity, and then we saw the humanity of Christ. And in all of that, what we see is the humility of Christ, the fact that he humbled himself. And that, remember, that word means it was a degradating word. It was a word that was nasty. And yet God took it and turned it completely around and said he humbled himself. And he did so for our benefit. So now what we're going to look at today is the exaltation of Christ by God the Father. The exaltation of Christ. And the first thing we see is why he is exalted. Look what it says in verse 9. It says, therefore also God highly exalted him. Therefore also, literally it means through also. Through this also. Through what? Well, through the fact that he is deity. He has always been and always will be existing as deity, and yet he accepted, took on humanity. He accepted that. Lambano, it's that word to grasp or to accept. So he did all of that. He took on all of that. Jesus, having the qualities of God, he emptied himself of the working out of these qualities, and he accepted the working out of a new quality, and that quality being a servant, working out as slave qualities, so we could have salvation for that reason. He humbled himself, giving over his life for us. You know, you think about it, one so majestic, so awesome, so completely God. He became a man with the nature of a servant and the outward manifestations of a slave. The outworking of a slave. That is the reason. That's what he says here. Therefore, because of this, or through this also, God highly exalted him. So we're going to look at the exaltation. Look what it says in verse 9. God highly exalted him. Highly exalted. That's a compound word in the original language. That's a compound word. It's the word huper psukao. That psukao, that means the top of a mountain or the summit. And huper is above. Remember our preposition circle? It's the line above that. So what we're talking about is above the top. So literally God put him above the top, above whatever is the top or whatever is the highest. Now you think about that for a minute and you say, well, where is the top? Because what we saw in John 17, remember Christ's high priestly prayer. The original, what I would call the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the one in Matthew where he is teaching his disciples. This is the one where he prayed to his Father, an intimate prayer. And what he said there is he's asking his Father to return to him the glory that he had before the world began. So that highest position of all is God. And we know there is nothing higher than God. But what is the one thing that Jesus took back to heaven with him that he did not bring to earth? The one thing he took back to heaven with him that he didn't bring to earth is his humanity. It's his humanity. The fact that he is human. He is fully human. So when it says he highly exalted him over the top, we're talking about anything creation, anything in creation. He already had the name God. He already could exalt in that. But here is a man. As a man, he is over all. It says he is highly exalted. God highly exalted him in his humanity. Not only that, but he bestowed upon him. Look what it says. And bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. And again, we're talking about in humanity, in creation. The word bestowed comes from the root word for bestowed is charis. Now, we've talked about that word a lot. That's the word grace. So in other words, God graced him with this name. He freely bestowed upon it, or he freely gave him because of the fact that he set his mind on things above, because of the fact that as a human, he said, although he existed in the form of God, in verse 6, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and took on that form, took on the outward manifestations of a servant. He humbled himself. That was the mindset that Paul is admonishing us to have in the area of unity, in the area of preferences. He's admonishing us to have that. But it's because of that, therefore, he was highly exalted, bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. Now, when it says the name, I looked at a lot of different references, and some said, well, it's the name of Jesus, because it says in verse 10, so that at the name of Jesus. But then it says in verse 11, that every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So maybe it's the word Lord, the name Lord. So is it the name Jesus, or is it the name Lord? Now, the problem there is there's a lot of people that were named Jesus. And the other problem with Lord is you have, like in, Peter, where it says that Sarah submitted to her husband and called him Lord. So with that, so are we talking about that word, Jesus, or the way those letters are put together as Lord or Jesus? I don't think so. What I believe I can show you this through that word itself throughout Scripture, is we're not talking about a specific way that the letters put together. We're not talking about a specific name, but we are talking about a position or a place. So the name, when he says the name Jesus, he's talking about the position that God has bestowed on him. He's bestowed a position or a place upon him that is above every other position, every other place. He has given him in his humanity, in his humanness. He's given him a place that goes beyond any other position or place. Because he already had the highest name in heaven, he had God, before his incarnation. And yet, when he came back to heaven, he brought with him his humanity. His humanity, his new form that he will perfectly mix with his deity. And don't ask me that. We're going to see it in heaven. We're going to see how he can be that. But it's a higher place than all of creation as human. And look what it says, verse 10. Because this is that word henna. It's in order that. This is happening in order that this will happen. So God highly bestows on him because of his mindset, because of his humility, his deity and humanity, and yet he humbled himself. Because of that, then God highly exalted him, and he gave him a position, a place above any other position or place, so that, or in order that, at the name of Jesus, at the position of Jesus, at the place of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. That is an action of humility. Literally, it's every knee will bend, showing submission. I'm sorry, I said humility. I meant submission. It's an action of submission to authority. It's a sign of respect, but it's also a sign of submission. Where is it going to happen? Well, look what it says. It says, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Well, who's in heaven? Well, you have the angels, you have the saints. Who's on earth? We have people, for sure. Who's under the earth? Well, you have the place of the dead. You have hell, you have demons. Satan himself, we can, that's where we vision. Of course, Satan is seen in Job, he's seen in heaven, he's seen on earth, but even under the earth, he's... But we're talking about everyone. Let's go with that, all right? We're talking about everything that has ever been created, everyone who has ever been created. every knee will bow because of this position, this place that God places him in. Every knee will bow, whether in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. When? When is that going to happen? Well, from everything that I can read in Scripture, and I understand, we get into Revelation, we'll see a little bit bigger picture of it. But I believe it's talking about the Great White Throne. At the Great White Throne Judgment, where Jesus is going to be sitting on the throne. Jesus, who has been bestowed the name or the position which is above all positions, over all, he is on the throne. Now this comes at the end of the millennial kingdom. So we have the rapture, which we're looking for now. We have the tribulation, which will come. And when the tribulation comes 7 years later, Christ will come and set up his kingdom on earth, and then you have a 1,000-year reign. And during that 1,000-year reign, you're going to have Satan being bound in the bottomless pit. Well, he's surely not bowing his knee yet. And you have people on earth who still won't bow their knee. In fact, Satan will be loosed at the end of that, and he'll be able to gather an army like the sands of the sea. He'll be able to gather a huge army to go against Christ. And at that point, there will be a great war. But at the end of that, you're going to have what's called the Great White Throne in Revelation. And that Great White Throne, everyone who has ever lived will stand out before Christ. Because Christ is going to be the judge. He is going to be the exalted one, the one with the position above every other position. And at that point, every knee will bow, because the book of life will be open. And the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, that means that while you were here on earth, you were saved. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you get to come and stand on his right. And then everyone that's left, he says, the books will be open, the books of deeds. So all these books are open, and then you have to prove through your deeds that you were good enough to come before God, that you had enough, you had more righteousness than Christ, or as much righteousness as Christ. And you won't be able to. People will not be able to, and those folks will end up having to bow the knee. They will end up submitting, being in submission to God. Even Satan will have to be in submission to God to recognize that he is Lord, that he is in charge, and the demons, all. But look what else it says. Not only just bow the knee, and verse 11, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue. So it's not just an act of submission, but it's a word of submission. A word of submission. And you know what that word of submission is involved in? Salvation here on earth. When we're here on earth, we look at Romans 10. Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, that's part of salvation, recognizing that Jesus is Lord. And that's what it says, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, what does it mean? Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, is Lord. The word Lord means master, savior, the one in charge, completely in charge. So there will be a recognition at that point, a recognition not just that my life isn't good enough and I need to submit to his authority, but a recognition that Christ is good enough, that he is in charge, that everything that God said about him and everything he said about himself is true. And there will be a confession. Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, that'll be a great confession for us, because we're going to be doing that with joy. We're going to bow our knee and we're going to praise God and sing hallelujah and say, he is Lord. Christ is Lord. And we're going to be joyful at it. But you know what? There's going to be people there who are not joyful about that. Not at all. Because this is going to be exceedingly hard for some. Especially Satan, the demons. I mean, they know the truth. And the demons know it and shudder. But there's going to be people there also that struggle with that. For those who refused him here on earth, for those whose pride kept them from bowing the knee to him here on earth, from admitting that they are sinful and need a Savior here on earth, submitting here on earth. But it will happen to everyone. It will happen to all. Some people will be in joy, like us. We're going to praise God, and those who are saved will be joyful, will be exulting. But for some, it'll be in anger. I believe Satan will be very angry at that point. Some it'll be in anger, but they'll still have to do that. But some it'll be in shame. And for some it'll be highly in regret. Those who are under the earth, those who have died without Christ, those who at that point still do not want to submit to Christ, but recognize that he is Lord, he is God. And confess that. And because confess means to say the same thing. All right, that's what the word means, to say the same thing. And here we're talking about say the same thing as God. And what does God say? God says in Hebrews, he says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." This is God speaking to his Son, Jesus. And God the Father calls his Son God. Jesus himself in John, I believe it's John chapter 12, it's either 8 or 12. I think it's 8. Where he says to the people, "Before Abraham was, I am." This is Jesus calling himself. And several times he says, "I and the Father are one." And when he said, "I and the Father are one," people didn't say, "Oh, well, that's really interesting." No, they picked up rocks. They picked up rocks because he was calling himself the same as the Father. They understood it. And what's going to happen is everybody is going to see that it's true. It's true. And there are many people who will do so with regret, though, but they'll admit it because it will happen. Every knee will bend. Every tongue will confess. Jesus is going to be the judge. He's going to be a righteous judge because he paid the price. He's going to be a just judge because he offers it to all. And he's going to be a compassionate judge because he gave all of us a choice. And what's the result of this? What's the result? Look what it says. The end of verse 11. To the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. There's a result. That mindset that Jesus took, how it lived out in his life and how it glorified, it glorified God. It ends up glorifying God. And God highly exalted him and gave him a place, a position overall, and that highly glorified his Father. And that's the goal. That's our goal, to glorify God in all that we say, all that we do. It's who Jesus submitted to in his humanness. It's who wanted salvation for the world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." The purpose of all of creation is what? To glorify God. To worship God and to glorify his name. And this will happen. But you know what? This event that we've talked about today, it's going to happen. Great White Throne will happen. And Jesus will be seen in this position that God has placed him in by everyone. But this event isn't really Paul's point here. It's an illustration of his point. Okay? Got to keep this in mind. Keep this in the context. Because the context of this is the unity of the church. He's admonishing them to help them in the way they relate to one another. So keep that in mind as we go through this. Because Paul gives instruction on character to the church. And how to implement that in their life and in our lives. Paul gives us an illustration of that setting of the mind, that mindset, that attitude towards one another. He gives us that illustration in towards humility rather than towards pride. And now Paul gives us information on the fact that God the Father rewards that mindset and that it glorifies God. Think about that. We're not, I mean, he points out an event that I believe that, that is taught in Scripture that will happen, but that really isn't the point. The point is that Christ had this mindset. We are to have this mindset, that God highly exalted him because of this mindset, and it glorified God in the process and in the end. You know, we can humble ourselves when we know that God will lift us up. Not the same as he does with Christ, because none of us was God and became a man. But having that same attitude, having that same mindset, we can know that he will bless that and honor that. In fact, the same principle is in James chapter 4, verse 10, where it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord," or in the presence of the Lord, "and he will lift you up." He will exalt you. And remember, it comes back to humble yourself, which goes completely against the grain of our pride. Goes completely against the grain of what I want. This is a future promise, but it's more an encouragement to lay aside our pride. And that's the attitude that will promote unity and will gain God's charis, favor, grace, freely bestowed. Because that's the mindset or the attitude that depends on God for our fulfillment. It doesn't depend on our own desires for our fulfillment. It depends on what God allows in our life and does. It's a selfless attitude instead of a selfish attitude. You know, I want to say here, to follow our example, to follow our illustration of Christ, first thing is we have to have salvation. There will be many at the great white throne who will regret not ever confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, but they'll do it, but it'll be too late. We have the opportunity to have that relationship now. I'm not talking about religion. We don't do religion here. But we're talking about a relationship with the God of the universe. The relationship with the one who created stars, the heavens, all of that. A relationship, and we call him our Abba, our daddy, our father, our loving daddy who cares for us. And that comes at salvation. And what I told you in Romans chapter 10, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans chapter 6 or 3. No, chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're talking about salvation. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Lord, your Savior, your Master, you can do that today. You can do that now. You find someone else that you know to be a Christian around you, and you ask them, they'll tell you the exact same thing. You can have a relationship with the God Almighty, because he wants to have one with you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to come boldly into his presence, according to Hebrews. He wants you to come with all your petitions. Let's go with it. Put a T in there. All your petitions, all your supplications. He wants you to come with him, with your thanksgiving, according to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to get to that. And that's a great section. It's a great place. But what we see here is that God highly exalted him because of his mindset, because of that humility that he took on. And he admonishes us to have that same attitude, but we can't have it without salvation. We can't do anything without knowing him. So if you've never trusted Christ, please consider accepting that free gift of salvation today. Romans chapter 4 says, believe in the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 5 says, accept, lambano. Accept that free gift of salvation. If you have trusted in Christ, then do you see the pattern here? Do you see this? That we're to have this mindset that maybe my own desire, my own preference isn't the only way. You know, that's not my way or the highway. My way or the highway, you're out of here. No, my own way isn't the only way. And maybe I can see, just like Christ, I can see others as more important than myself. And you know what that does to our pride? It messes it up. It just plain messes it up. It's just not any fun. It's not fun, but guess what? It's what God honors, because what God did with Christ, he highly exalted him. And what he says in James, humble yourself before the Lord and let him lift you up. Let him be the one that exalts you, not ourselves. Remember the end product. Jesus depended upon his Father. He humbled himself and he knew the end. We can rely on him too. We can set aside our pride, humble ourselves, considering others as more important than our own desires. And God will exalt us somehow. That's up to him. That's in his place, in his time, in his will. But he will prove to all that he is trustworthy. That he is trustworthy. Now next week, what we're going to look at, it really gets fun. Because you get down to verse 14, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. I know I'm going to give it away, but it's really cool. You know, because I can understand this. I can understand this. I'll humble myself and okay, let others seem more important. And let something else happen that encourages others and edifies others and not so much my own desire. But if I'm going to do that, I'm going to gripe about it. Because you got to have some fun, right? Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I don't even know if I'll get to it next week, but it's really fun. Right? Because that's our mindset. That's our mindset. But you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to help us to recognize that the mindset of Christ is what he blessed, is what he exalted, is what he lifted up. And that's the mindset that we are admonished to have. And yet, it's so hard to understand it, because he emptied himself of that manifestation of being God. And we don't even want to empty myself of being right my way, having things my way. Okay? So there the pride builds in. Setting aside pride is never easy. Taking on humility, one of the hardest things ever, but that is the attitude that builds unity. Unity in the body of Christ. Because Christ doesn't want one hand going one way and one hand going the other. He wants those hands working together. And we are the body of Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much that you have made us the body of Christ, even though we don't deserve it. We mess it up so much. There's times we don't listen to the head and we end up trying to walk in a different way, or bodies being pulled in several different directions. Lord God, that's not unity. But Father, unity sometimes means we don't get our own preferences, our own desires. And yet, we encourage others in the process. Sometimes we don't get to be seen by everybody as right, which would build our pride, but instead, we get to uplift others. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for teaching us through the illustration of your Son. Thank you for giving him a name, a position, a place that is above every place in all of humanity. He's already God. But now he's higher than any human anything. Because Lord God, you gave that to him because of his mindset, because of his humility, because you wanted to give us an illustration. You wanted to give us an example that we can set aside our pride. We can humble ourselves. We can depend upon you in the same way. Lord, help us to depend upon you. We love you. We honor and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.